bless you. Good morning, everybody. As was asked, I was a little bit afraid. Do I want it, this? But there were some problems on my way. I doubted if I should do it or not. But I decided, and I asked God, when you work with your spirit through me, then I may do this. And therefore I am here. I am a little nervous, but I will speak about a theme what we many times forget. And we look at Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. It was written 430 years before Christ. And he went back when the temple was built up again, and there was nothing in the Jerusalem in the temple anymore. Malachi verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. And I am a father. Where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my master. Many people think that God is a lovely God. Oh, lovely God. And he gave me everything. And when I do wrong things, I come back to the Father and he forgives me. Of course, this is right. And when you come to God and ask forgiveness, he will give you. But it is not the whole truth. He is also our Lord, our Master. And he needs respect from us. And that is that I am thinking about the last days. When you are happy, you are happy. And everything is easy. But when it is difficult, what then? How can I live with difficulties in my life? I read on. God needs all the respect he can get from us. I wrote down. Sometimes we think, oh, I pray a little words to God and so I can go on. But when you honor your God, you worship him, then you must know that he is above you, greater than you. And not only say amen and already is it. And I go on with my whole life. And now and then I will pray. If we pray and sing and honor him, and him give his place higher than us, he is also Father, but also our Lord, the Most High. What is it? What means it to be the Lord, Master? And sometimes I think easy about it. And I say, Lord, Lord, this and this. But what means it, Lord, Master? In songs and prayings, we must be aware that we use the Lord in his right name, with respect and that we know who he is. And that is something I think about, and I will take now in this sermon. And if I am the Lord, says God, where is my your respect for me? Sometimes we kneel very happy and very easy for him. When you have a bad day, then you will do it. And then you can fall down on your knees and ask him and give him all your things. Oh, what is it good then knowing that such an almighty God is beside you and hears you. But give you God the respect that he needs, We say always, I will not bow down before another God than the Lord of the Bible, the God of the Bible. But do you bow down deep for him, and will you bow down for his almighty name? I run every morning, and the last day I run 1 kilometer, and I had some bad days, and I didn't understand some things. And I ran, and I was under a viaduct, and I thought, what is in me against that I now bow down for the Lord here and give him the honor now? He is so much greater, and he's the Almighty. And I realized, what is against it? And I went on. What is against it? And I thought about it, but that you must never do. You must do it. What will people think if they see me? And saying, and I said, what Christian am I when I say it but I don't do it? And in the evening I came to a person, Ramon, here, and he helped me. And I said, I will kneel down by God, but I am a little bit ashamed. And he said, come, let us do it now. And don't think about it and do it later, but now. So make time now. And I did it, and I said it to the Lord. And I was so happy that I did it and I was made free from my own thoughts. Sometimes it is strange that we are ashamed to go to God with our burdens. Yeah. I wrote down, he is the one who made us. He is the creator. And do you think that that you can go in heaven? And he will earn the service from you. He said to me, and now I read to Ecclesiastes. Of Proverbs 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10, he says. beginning of wisdom. Is to serve the Lord. You will feel for God. In the world, then you are full of fear for the Lord. But when you are a believer, then you have respect for the Father, for the Lord, and I read sometimes God's fear is the fear that God will do something when you are unobedient for the Lord. When you are not obedient for the Lord, and when you think about that, then you get that fear of God, but also the respect, and you go down on your knee because He's so high. He is our Father who loves us, but He is also the Lord, the Almighty, the Creator, and we may bow down for him, deep down. And what do you do? And what helps me is live out of expecting the Lord. If you know for 100% that Jesus will come tomorrow back on earth, so should you then live in another way than you do now? If you do that, then I think you have to change something in your life. When you think tomorrow is He will be here, and then think, okay, no, I have to do something now, something different. That is not the meaning of God. He will our whole life, every day, everything, not by fearing if He comes, but in your normal way. What is your expectation from the Lord? And what do you do to God to give you life in order to what He is wanting? Matthew, I didn't hear it right. Somewhere in Matthew. I will translate it, what he says. The crown of my life is ready, the crown of eternal life. The Lord will give this crown on the day that He is coming, and everybody who is longing after Him every day. When you long that He is coming, then you may set the crown of eternal life upon your head. When you have that expectation, and when you don't have that expectation, then you live in an indifferent life. I think it is Matthew 24. Be ready for on a time that you not expect Him, He will be there. just as a Lord and Master over his personal, and when he expects the Lord, he does what the Lord wants. But a bad servant, and you think the Lord will stay away a long time, and I will drink and live my own life with other people, and then he will be there on an unexpected day. And then you will go down in hell with other people who do not live like the Lord. Are you a true servant? I will live so the Lord wants what I do. When you have no expectations, then you will live a different way. You pray maybe, but you have not a good relationship with the Lord. And I think that we got a mission, a message to do. Matthew 28, verse 19-20. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, and I will be with you every day in the very end of the age. And when we walk then the way the Lord, and then the other life again, and you love God and you love the world, you are for God, you choose for God, or you choose for the world. That is the way. You cannot do both things. And then when you choose for the Lord, then you get the respect, and you can also give it a name. We may serve him. He is so much greater. And that's what I want to say to you. The Lord is much greater, and we may serve him. We give it a name, serving the Lord. Noah. This was Levi, now comes Noah. Good morning, everybody. My sister Laura, she was sick last Sunday, but now it is good again. She got an operation, and she is recovering now. And thank you all for the prayers for her. When I was asking to tell something here now, and I was waiting what Levi should say, and when he said, I will speak about that the Lord is our Lord, our Master, and he asked our respect, and so I thought, and I found a line in my sermon. So I will this morning, that God will something call in our mind what we did, but also for our future. Zachar is the Hebrew name. That is, remember, think at active remembering. Exodus 20, the Lord says, everywhere where you come, you may think, remember my name, Sachar. Remember my name. Active remembrance of the name of the Lord. And then you had an active relationship with the Lord. In the beginning of the Bible, remembrance were there the throughout the whole year in feasts of the Lord. That's also still. God had seven feasts for his people. They didn't do the people in sin. You can read it in Deuteronomium 7, verse 13. God gave us these feasts for his people, and he will also show us the deepness of the feasts, and for now and for the future. But why are these feasts so important? I will say what the feasts are. Leviticus 23, you can read about it. Leviticus 23. It was a symbolization of the mercy of God when he freed them out of Egypt. So on the moment we learn to know Jesus, he will free us from the might of the darkness and we will be a child of God. And then from the love we have for him, we will also serve him. The first, she must make an offering of a lamb. That is also what Jesus did for us. She must be ready to go out of Egypt. And she must take the blood, and that must be done on the door. And so they were safe. And it's the same thing as this. When we have the blood of Jesus in our life, then also we will be saved. On our hearts we must have the blood of Jesus. And Jesus was fulfilling these feasts in his life. And there was also the feast of Pesach and the bread. And that feast was remembering for the Israelites that they must go in a hurry. They must go in a hurry and make that feast out of Egypt. And that is live a holy life and take away the wrong things out of your life. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. So all your sins you may take away and bring it to Jesus in your new life. And Jesus was the bread of life, and he has no sins, and he gave his bread for us. On the moment that we remember this, we can take our sins and bring it to the Lord. And when the feast of and Pesach was dead, Jesus was dead in 3 days. And then came the first the first fruits. And that is the trust that God also gave the rest of the harvest later on. So the first fruits they must give to the Lord. And also Jesus is the first fruit that came out of the dead, and we may follow. It is a word for us that we may follow him out of the dead. And then you have the Pentecostal feast. And they got the Ten Commandments. And that was the heart of God that he showed to us. And he will have a relationship with us. So, and that we can live so he wants us to live. And the Holy Spirit came also on the post-Pentecostal, the Feast of the Weeks. And that means that the rules of God are now written in our hearts. And so we can do the words by the Holy Spirit. Kimmels, he gave the Holy Spirit that we can live as the Lord wants us to live. He helps us. These feasts are fulfilled by Jesus. The last three feasts, there is not fulfilled yet. They come later on. These four feasts are fulfilled and three feasts come. The first is the Feast of the Trumpets. The shofar will be blown and they call the people to a recall. They must think about their sins. And to say them to God and bring them over to God. And also Jesus will come. And this Feast of Trumpets is a symbolization that is he is coming. When the feast that the trumpets were blown. See, we do not know exactly it. And that also Israel had to wait when they saw the moon, the beginning of the new moon. Then the Feast of Trumpets came. And then the great day of holiness. The high priest must take an animal, and that will redeem for the total people. And the priest must go in with the blood to do redeeming for the whole people. And our priest is Jesus Christ, our high priest. And he is in the Holy of Holiest, in the temple, in the heaven, with his blood. And every time when we say our sins to him, bring his sins to him, then his blood will clean us from all our sins. It's just like the same thing of the high priest in that time from Israel. And since the time of Jesus died for us and gave his blood, all sins will be cleaned by the blood of Jesus that still is cleansing until he comes. And the last feast is the Feast of the Tabernacles. The last feast. And they were in the desert with tents and houses from woods. And the Feast of tabernacles is for us that Jesus comes back and we can live with him in his house, in the houses that he makes ready for us. And that will be 1,000 years. And we are waiting for that. And then God promises that the Lamb is coming and that we will be with him and live with him. 1,000 years of peace. The feasts were for the Israelites, but it is also for us a promise. And for the generations after that comes, until he comes. It is a deep meaning of the feast, what they did and what he is doing in the future. And as Christians, we think and we remember that he died for our sins and we can be cleansed by his blood. The reason that Jesus died is that he fulfilled the four feasts, so that the name of Jesus was of the Father was renewed in our life. When we sing "He is here," then we may know that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit will lead upon the path of him. And he asks us to live a holy life, for he will make us holy and clean by his blood. God is our creator, and he wants and he has a goal that we have a relationship with him, as it was in the paradise with Adam and Eve. Yes, these feasts are also for us, but in another way as the Israelites. And the meaning is also for us. And we may think what Jesus did for us and will do for us and will come. And there's a very deep meaning. We cannot understand all. Our brains are not good enough for that. It is super beautiful that God has such a good plan for our lives to come to him and to be with him every day. He will come and he will get us so we can do everything every day what he wants by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will remember him. We remember him every day. And remember what he did and what is to come. And what do you live in remembrance, and what is the goal of your life? Thank you.